Anyway, today my message is called Kill Him and Ascend. Somebody say, kill him and ascend. Child, what a topic. Kill him and ascend. In every aspect of life, whether it is family, business, ministry, usually the space is crowded. Everybody say the space is crowded. Now we deal with crowded space. You go to GES, there's crowded space. You go to Ministry of Health, there's crowded space. You go among the contractors, there's crowded space. You come to ministry, to church, there's crowded space. You come to desert pastures, there is crowded space. Everywhere in the world, you will see crowded space. What I mean by crowded space is that you will look at the top there and you will see that the top is occupied already. And if the top is occupied, and you also have got ambition and you want to go to the top, you realize that to go to the top, you will need some anointing, you will need some wisdom, you will need some knowledge, you will need some grace, and then you will need some patience, because it will take you time to get to the top there. Many people don't have the patience. They don't have the skill, they don't have the gift, they don't have the anointing to get to the top. So what they do is that they resort to killing others in order to ascend. They look at the people that are on the top and they decide that if I want to go to the top, then I must kill the one who is at the top in order to go to the top. So you come to our families and everybody is trying to pull somebody down in order to ascend. You go into our departments, our companies, our churches, ministries, the kingdom of God, and it's the same. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And if you want to be great, then look for somebody who is already great and pull him down. So our culture, our philosophy, the way we go about things in life is always, instead of building yourself up, you expend all your energy trying to pull somebody down in order to go up. So when I talk about pressure, when I talk about kill him and ascend, I'm talking about that kind of pressure on an individual to sabotage, destroy, or kill somebody ahead of you in order to rise. So I want to go up. Let me sabotage somebody. Let me destroy somebody. Let me kill somebody. And that is the method we've been using. Here is a young man in the Bible, anointed by God to be the king of Israel. This young man is going to be king by all means. Samuel has anointed him and said, God has anointed you. You are chosen. You are going to be a king. But after the anointing, there is a man on the throne already. And the man on that throne is called King Saul. Until Saul comes down, David cannot become the king. And if David is not the king, the Wahalians who are following David would never enter Hebron or the city of David. Now David is surrounded by these Wahala people. He's in the wilderness. He's in the cave of Adullam. And the Bible said that the people that were depressed, those that were distressed, those that were in debt, those that were discontented, people that were angry and grieved in so many ways, they were the people that resorted unto David. Sometimes you have all these angry people, grieved people in life who can come around you and put pressure on you. And the pressure they put on you is kill somebody and ascend. Because these are opportunistic individuals. These are parasitic beings that come around you, and they know the only way they can get a future or the only way they can have a sense of relevance is to act as leeches in your life. So that they just pin themselves to you and use you as a vehicle to advance their cause in life. So the Bible said it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, and I'm talking about 1 Samuel chapter 24 and the verse number 1, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Verse number 2. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and they went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. Verse number 3, and they came to the sheep coats or the sheep pens by the way, and there was a cave. And Saul went into the cave to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day which the Lord saith unto thee, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David had smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Verse number 6. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. Verse number 7. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise up against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. So we are talking about David surrounded by a lot of frustrated people. And this thing happens everywhere. Where they will now come to you with pressure, kill the person who is on top of you and go up. Now, there is a case for murder. Everybody say a case for murder. Come on, shout it, case for murder. There is a case for murder. There is justification for murder. They are saying, kill this man, and you are justified to kill him. Justification for murder. There's a case for murder. Number one, retaliation. What they are telling him is that, David, don't forget, this man has tormented you for years. This is the opportunity to retaliate. The verse number four says, he said, this is the day that God has been speaking about. Nail this man, kill him. This is the opportunity. Kill him. Have you forgotten everything he did against you? This is the man who has chased us and we are in the wilderness. Kill this man. You know what? Sometimes there will be a justifiable reason in quotes why you should kill your boss. You will remember that this is the man, when your promotion came, he sat on it. This is the man who spoke negatively about you. This is the man who used you and didn't give you anything. This is the man who troubled your life. This is the man who did this, and this is the man who did this. Now watch this. David had every justifiable reason to kill King Saul. But he said, I cannot lift up my hand against the Lord's anointed. I cannot do this thing. He said, you know what? God forbid that I should do this. Justification for murder. Retaliation. I have the right to do what I'm doing. The man has offended me. And many times when you see people that are on the mission to destroy somebody on top of them, you should hear their words. And the person did this. And the person did this. And the person did this. And the person. The reason you cannot attack the person is not because of what he did and what he didn't do. The reason you cannot attack the person is because the person is anointed. The person is anointed by God. So you are forbidden to do what you are doing. You are forbidden to destroy him. You are forbidden to kill him. You are forbidden to sabotage him. I'm talking about retaliation. Have you forgotten everything he did? Retaliation. The second thing we have here, justification for murder, is what I call entitlement. Everybody say entitlement. No, you say, they said, this is the day God has spoken about. One of the things that we are frustrated about in the kingdom of God today is the feeling of entitlement. God has anointed me. Now, here is David. God, listen, Samuel has anointed him with oil. He said, you are the chosen of the Lord. This man has killed Goliath already. He could have had a sense of entitlement to say, you know what? Because God called me, I will kill this man and become the king because this man is stopping me. But he said, you know what? I will not touch the Lord's anointed, because if God is finished with Saul, God knows how to remove Saul. And if God wants to put you on the throne, the same God who sent Samuel when you didn't know you were a king, the same God who sent Samuel when you were keeping sheep, the same God who sent Samuel when your own father had forgotten about you, the same God who sent Samuel who ignored Shammah and Eliab and saw you, and though there was nothing like a king on you, he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. If it is time for you to get to the throne, that same God will do it. You don't have to shoot down somebody, kill somebody in order to ascend. You don't have to kill the contractors in town in order to become the next contractor. You don't have to kill all the senior pastors who have operated in this city for long before you become a pastor. You don't have to mount the pulpit or go from house to house, destroy all the senior pastors in the town in order to start your own church somewhere. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, may you not be an object of this deception. May God help you. You know what? I didn't come here today to play game. I told you, my own father told me to come and preach in prayer cathedral. And I told him, I said, Papa, I must go home today. And the reason I came home was not because of my wife, because she was with me. I came because of you. And I came because I'm carrying a message. I came because I must save you from some kind of distraction. I came because I must inject in you right now a word that will save you from distraction. And I pray in the name of Jesus, may you understand what the Spirit of God is saying. A feeling of entitlement. A feeling of entitlement. I'm anointed. God called me. God called me. You, I'm sure some of you have been in this church from 1987. You may never hear me talk about Pastor Elijah Adua. How many of you have never heard the name Elijah Adua from my lips before? On this pulpit, you've never heard me mention that name. Lift up your hand. You've never. And that is because I don't mention the name. You are not likely to know that that was my pastor in the Baptist church before we started Fountain Gate. You are not likely to know what happened in that church and what didn't happen. The reason is because the man of God was an anointed man of God who gave me an opportunity to stand in his pulpit when I was just 24 years old and 23 years old. And it is not my job to take my tongue and talk against my pastor, who was my pastor when I was a nobody. I pray in the name of Jesus. You know what? There are people that are higher than you in Ministry of Education, Ministry of Health, in politics. There are people who were in MPP before you went there. People that were in NDC before you went there. Stop shooting down people that are on top of you just because you want to get space on the top there. People will come around you and say, kill him and ascend. Tell them, you know what? I don't have to kill nobody in order to ascend. Watch this. If you kill people, you will only become a mortuary keeper. You will only become a mortuary man. Anybody that kills, the corpse will remain in your house. You will become a mortuary man all your life. I'm praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help you. Don't throw down a woman in order to take a husband. Don't throw down a man in order to take his wife. Don't throw down children in order to take their parents. Don't go to Pastor Mike and destroy Patience, the secretary, because you want to become a secretary. Don't go and destroy Shelley because you want to become a secretary. I pray that you will wait upon the Lord for your time. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, retaliation. They've done this against me, and they've done this against me, and they've done this against me, and they did this against me. Number two, entitlement. I saw a vision. God ministered to me. God showed me revelation. So leave that church and come and join me. You know that church is already big. We are now starting. Come and help us. So when that church was small, what happened to that church? I'm praying that God will give you kingdom common sense. May you walk in wisdom and walk in grace, so that no Absalom will lead you to go and join a chariot you should not join. May you have that understanding. If you are clapping, you are on the good side of the course. This month is the month of focus. This month is the month of focus. The Bible said, I have found David my servant, a man after my heart. David focused on the heart of God. He didn't focus on the throne. I believe that if King Saul had allowed David, David could have been his assistant up to the time he died. I believe David would never have taken that throne. That man was not somebody who was looking for a throne. No. Listen to his words. As the heart pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? David was looking for king. He was looking for the heart of God. He was not looking for the throne. Stop killing people to ascend. Several years ago, when I was growing up as a minister, I saw that my spiritual father was a bishop. And my spiritual father was a reverend doctor. My spiritual father later on became an archbishop. I told myself, all these things, I don't want them. I don't want to be in competition with my father. He's a bishop, I don't want it. He's an archbishop, I don't want it. He's a doctor, I don't want it. Let me remain my Pastor Eastwood, and then he will call me Pastor Eastwood. Come and do this, and I will go. I don't want it. He himself will meet me all the time and say, Eastwood, Pastor, no. What's a pastor? No. We must make you a bishop. I'm okay like this. You can even see that my suspenders have come down for some time. You can even see that these days, Michelle Mijins are not a big now. The older you become, the more, the cooler you become. The cooler. This is retirement uniform. Jubilee uniform. Come on, give a big clap offering to Jesus. So retaliation, entitlement. Yeah, we are in this church. We've been here for 5 years. They've never made us deacons. Only these other people are deacons. Then you start mouthing the rest of the deacons that are in the church. That deacon did this. That pastor did this. That pastor did that. That one did that. And that because you want to shoot somebody down in order to ascend. That is what I call killing and ascend. The third justification for murder is what I call commonality. Everybody say commonality. Everybody say commonality. Come on, shout. Now, it's an English word. Go and check it. Commonality is something that occurs common among all people. Like Elijah was a man of like passion like us. When somebody is on top of you, the biggest thing to watch is commonality. Because you see, the person will be common like you. Two eyes, one nose, one mouth. When he sleeps, he may snore. Then the person will go to the WC. In fact, if you are sitting with him and says, let me go to the restroom and come back. Then you start wondering. So he's going to remove something and fire some water, or he's going to sit on the WC and release some missiles. So King Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. The man went a King Labangira. So David is there and they are watching King Saul, and maybe they heard boom. You know, when you are in the restroom, you may release a sound. So maybe they heard a sound, boom. Especially if he was running diarrhea in the wilderness. So they say, oh, so inga murkin bangira me. Into anu soko toilet, boom. Sha, and yes, what to say? He's just like us. The man pee like us. The man goes to restroom like us. He's like us. Then you are near that anointing. And sometimes the anointing makes grammatical error. Then you are, can you imagine if you are walking around Prophet Ajimai and you are working with him, and then Prophet Ajimai says, now, sir, lady, your friend is saying, this gentleman, what is the name of the gentleman? Then something will now tell you that, but when he's standing in public, he mentions people's names. Why didn't the Holy Ghost show him the name of this man or this woman? And he's now asking for somebody to tell him. The commonality between you and an anointed person can become a temptation for you to shoot them down, because you will look at them and they are just like you. They are just like you. So you may be walking around Abraham, and King Abimelech will ask Abraham, who is this woman? And says, my sister. And you are Lot. And he said, yeah. I say, Father Abraham, when I in a career. So Abraham took a lie. Maybe those commonalities. And he's walking around the man for many years, and the man can't get a child. So he's looking at Abraham, father of many nations. You can't produce even one child. And he is busy producing a lot. His name is Lot, so he was producing a lot of children. Listen to me. Your greatest temptation in this world is coming close to an anointing. You will see things. You will hear things that will bring the anointed person close to you. Very common, as if it's like you. But if you want, you try that anointing and see. Try it. Commonality. You may see him angry. Angry. And he's angry and say, hey, call me that foolish man. I remember one day a man of God was in a taxi. No, he was driving in one of the cities in Ghana. And he came across this taxi driver, but he didn't know that the taxi driver knew that he was a man of God. So the taxi driver crossed him. And the man of God said, I didn't know where Jimmy sir. Or say, yourself where him at him. I say, I'm sorry. So you are likely to say, how can a man of God? I will never go to church again. I will never go to church again. I will never go to any of these churches. How can a man of God be insulting people in traffic? You know what, people? Anytime you see the humanity of a man of God or an anointing, it is a temptation for you to deny the divinity behind that humanity. I pray that you will learn to understand that, you know what? Every man of God is common like you. They wear shoes like you. Some of your shoe size is bigger than theirs. Some of them, you are taller than them. Some of them, they can eat a lot. Others don't eat at all. Some of them, you see them, they look frustrated. They don't smell well, and so on and so forth. It's a temptation. Sometimes they will look broke. They may even come to you for a loan. Can you imagine if a man of God comes to you for a loan? Calls you a church member and says, I'm very sorry, my children's school fees, I'm really struggling. Brother so and so, can you help me with 500 Ghana cedis? I want to pay my child's school fees. Then you, the businessman, Augustine, will now tell the pastor, see me in my office tomorrow. It's a curse. How can your pastor see you in your office to collect money? You should get up with that money and run to his house, kneel down and put it at his feet and tell him, just bless me. And it is not even a loan. I am bringing this. It's an opportunity to sow into your children's life. How dare you sit in your office and call your pastor? Even if he's one of the young ministers we just ordained spiritually, he's still higher than you. You sit in the church, and when a young minister, Chris Isaka, is preaching, you sit there and say, I am older than him. This thing is not to be reckoned according to age. It is reckoned according to the anointing and grace and the power. Listen, may the humanity of somebody, the commonality of a man of God, may it not be
blur your vision and you cannot see the grace God has put upon his life. Come on, shout a yes and praise.
The third justification for murder is what I call commonality. Everybody say commonality. Everybody say commonality. Come on, shout. Now, it's an English word. Go and check it. Commonality is something that occurs common among all people. Like Elijah was a man of like passion like us. When somebody is on top of you, the biggest thing to watch is commonality. Because you see, the person will be common like you. Two eyes, one nose, one mouth. When he sleeps, he may snore. Then the person will go to the WC. In fact, if you are sitting with him and says, let me go to the restroom and come back. Then you start wondering, so he's going to remove something and fire some water, or he's going to sit on the WC and release some missiles. So King Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. The man went a King Labangira. So David is there and they are watching King Saul, and maybe they heard boom. You know, when you are in the restroom, you may release a sound. So maybe they heard a sound, boom. Especially if he was running diarrhea in the wilderness. So they say, oh, so ingamur king bangira me. Into a nusoko toilet room. Sha, and yes, what to say? He's just like us. The man pee like us. The man goes to restroom like us. He's like us. Then you are near that anointing, and sometimes the anointing makes grammatical error. Then you are, can you imagine if you are walking around Prophet Ajimai and you are working with him, and then Prophet Ajimai says, now, sir, lady, your friend is saying, and this gentleman, what is the name of the gentleman? Then something will now tell you that, but when he's standing in public, he mentions people's names. Why didn't the Holy Ghost show him the name of this man or this woman? And he's now asking for somebody to tell him. The commonality between you and an anointed person can become a temptation for you to shoot them down. Because you will look at them and they are just like you. They are just like you. So you may be walking around Abraham, and King Abimelech will ask Abraham, who is this woman? And says, my sister. And you are Lot. And he says, yeah. I say, Father Abraham, when I in a career. So Abraham took a lie. Maybe those commonalities. And he's walking around the man for many years, and the man can't get a child. So he's looking at Abraham, father of many nations. You can't produce even one child. And he is busy producing a lot. His name is Lot, so he was producing a lot of children. Listen to me. Your greatest temptation in this world is coming close to an anointing. You will see things. You will hear things that will bring the anointed person close to you. Very common, as if it's like you. But if you want, you try that anointing and see. Try it. Commonality. You may see him angry. Angry. And he's angry and say, hey, call me that foolish man. I remember one day a man of God was in a taxi. No, he was driving in one of the cities in Ghana. And he came across this taxi driver, but he didn't know that the taxi driver knew that he was a man of God. So the taxi driver crossed him. And the man of God said, I didn't think away Jimmy, sir. I said, I'm sorry. So you are likely to say, how can a man of God? I will never go to church again. I will never go to church again. I will never go to any of these churches. How can a man of God be insulting people in traffic? You know what, people? Anytime you see the humanity of a man of God or an anointing, it is a temptation for you to deny the divinity behind that humanity. I pray that you will learn to understand that, you know what? Every man of God is common like you. They wear shoes like you. Some of your shoe size is bigger than theirs. Some of them, you are taller than them. Some of them, they can eat a lot. Others don't eat at all. Some of them, you see them, they look frustrated. They don't smell well, and so on and so forth. It's a temptation. Sometimes they will look broke. They may even come to you for a loan. Can you imagine if a man of God comes to you for a loan? Calls you, a church member, and says, I'm very sorry, my children's school fees, I'm really struggling. Brother so-and-so, can you help me with 500 Ghana cedis? I want to pay my child's school fees. Then you, the businessman, Augustine, will now tell the pastor, Pastor, see me in my office tomorrow. It's a curse.
How can your pastor see you in your office to collect money?
You should get up with that money
and run to his house, kneel down and put it at his feet and tell him, just bless me. And it is not even a loan. I am bringing this. It's an opportunity to sow into your children's life. How dare you sit in your office and call your pastor?
Even if he's one of the young ministers we just ordained spiritually, he's still higher than you.
You sit in the church, and when a young minister, Chris Isaka, is preaching, you sit there and say, I am older than him.
This thing is not to be reckoned according to age.
It is reckoned according to the anointing and grace and the power. Listen, may the humanity of somebody, the commonality of a man of God, may it not blur your vision, and you cannot see the grace God has put upon his life. Come on, shout a yes and praise. That is why John the Baptist is a special man. Special man.
He's older than Jesus. He said, there's one coming mightier than me.
Jesus is his cousin. Commonality.
He said, but the one who sent me to baptize said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, the same is he.
John. No wonder Jesus said, of all that are born of women, there is not a greater than John the Baptist.
He said, this man is not my cousin. You people think he's my cousin, but I am of the earth.
But this man is heavenly. I came from the earth. This man came from heaven. He looked at Jesus. This was his own cousin. But he didn't say we are all sinners. He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. May God give you the supernatural capacity and the supernatural faculty to be able to break through. Come on. Break through the natural. Break through the known. Break through what you see. Break through what you hear. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some in the natural said you are Elijah. Some said you are Jeremiah. Some said you are one of the prophets. Some said you are John the Baptist. He said, by you, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. If you can shout, the blessing of God is upon you. Commonality. Commonality. You may see your pastor pushing his motorbike on the roadside. When you go to England and you go to Germany, that one, the temptation is bigger. Mr. Dra, the temptation is bigger. You can see a pastor in Germany and the person is working in the airport in the toilet. I've seen it before. Where a pastor I knew in Germany. One day I was traveling to one of the airports and I saw this pastor wheeling the truck, the trolley, where they put the mop for cleaning the toilets and the brushes and everything, and the dustbins. And this pastor was pushing it out of the airport because he cleans the toilets at the airport. When he saw me, he says, Penny, that is saying, I said, yeah, suffer. Then I prayed with him. He said, suffer. We are not a team.
The boy Jume by intimi my full time. And did you say the SI Jume, a proper Jume, Netinia share families? Then on Sunday, we go to preach. Now, if you are a church member and you see your pastor is cleaning the toilet, and on Sunday you go back to church and this man has to preach to you, you need something extraordinary to believe the word he's going to preach. Because you are going to sit and say, Binzir can preach the man. Kai Binzir. Oh, Jesus. May you learn. Karabosi. May you learn. May you learn to go beyond the commonality. Number four is what I call vulnerability. Justification for murder. Number one, retaliation. Number two, entitlement. Number three, commonality. Number four, vulnerability. Vulnerability in the sense that at this particular moment, the robe, the kingly robe, or the kingly mantle of Saul has been removed from him. They've taken the robe and it's hanging somewhere. We also know that at a certain point in the life of this man of God, Samuel had told the man of God, God has rejected you from being king. In fact, from the day God anointed David to be the king, God technically had rejected King Saul from being the king. Provisionally, although the man was not even going to face Goliath, God knew that David was going to be the king. Here is a man, God has rejected him from being a king. Here is a man who has removed his robe from him and he has hung the robe somewhere. In other words, the robe or the mantle of the king has been detached from him. Justification for murder. I will kill him because this man, God has rejected him. I will kill him because this man doesn't carry the anointing. And listen, I've been in the kingdom of God long enough. Can I say that again? The kingdom murderers, this is their mantra. A mantra is some gibberish, something. And so David said, you know what? I will not take my hand and stretch it against the Lord's anointed. God forbid. Just like Pilate said, my hands are clean. And Paul said, my hands are clean of every man's blood. May you live your life on earth without using your hands to ever pull down an anointed person. Don't use social media to do it. Don't use the television to do it. Don't use the internet to do it. Don't use a text message to do it. Don't use a phone conversation to do it. Don't use your tongue to do it. May your fingers be clean. May your tongue be clean. For blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves shall not wither. Bring forth his fruit in the season. Whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Oh, the spirit has left the man. This woman is not anointed again. Ichabod, the glory of God has departed from him. You see that church standing there? The power of God has left that church. This is the latest one God is moving in. You see that man of God? God has left him. This is the latest man God has called. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Don't let that. No. I'm going to give you an example. Can you imagine somebody sitting here who is crazy enough to believe that the days for the foundation of this building are over? Because now we have reached a dispensation in this building where all we need is the walls and the roof. We don't need the foundation again. So let's remove the foundation. You know what? If you remove this foundation right now, this whole building will come down. Some of the men of God are foundations. Some of the women of God are foundations. The Bible said he built the house on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Some of them are foundations. God started using them years ago. The Pastor Awindos and the Pastor Yinimis and the Pastor Jobs. All those people were moving. And although some of them are dead and gone, we remember their memory. Today I was coming here, I looked at Pastor Lazarus' building and I prayed in my heart, God, help Pastor Lazarus building. Desert pastures, help some of the ministries that are acting as foundations. They are foundations upon which something is being built. God, remember Archbishop Duncan Williams, that is a foundation. Remember Dr. Menzel Tabel, that is a foundation. Remember Dr. John Osei Frie, that is a foundation. Remember Pastor Enoch Agbozo, that is a foundation. I pray, listen, may God help us to put value on the foundations. Because if you remove the ancient landmarks and you deny, the Bible said, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? We are the kingdom that is destroying its foundations. Go to every town and every city in Ghana. Younger pastors are shooting down the older ones. The pastors that have gone, the pastors that are coming up are trying their best. Let's kill the older ones so that we also can have relevance. But I pray in the name of Jesus, may God give us sons and daughters like the two sons of Noah, who saw their father's nakedness in there, and they took a cloth and they walked backwards and they covered it, and they said, our eyes cannot see this. May God grant you the grace to be the one that will cover the foundations, that will strengthen the foundations, that will bless the foundations. We will not break down the foundations, because if we break down the foundations, we don't have a future. Our mantra is not kill him and our sin. Our mantra is that we shall wait upon the Lord, and if it is time for God to promote us, God will promote us. If it is time for God to bless us, God will bless us. Come on, scream like I'm talking to you. Oh Jesus. Vulnerability. When it looks like the anointing has left a man of God. When you go to the hospital and you are a nurse and a man of God is lying there and he's sick, and you are saying, where is the anointing? If he was really anointed, why is the anointing not healing him? Physician, save yourself and save us. But one of the thieves had a common sense. He said, I know you are wounded like me. I know you are hanging on the cross like me. They nailed you as if you have not been anointed. But I still believe in you. When you get to paradise, remember me. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Come on, shout like you are in desert pastures. This morning, I didn't come here for entertainment. I came to preach. I came to prophesy. I came to teach. I came to establish foundations that will endure in your life for many, 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 many years. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, may God touch your spirit and touch your soul and touch your body and touch your life. May your life be reorganized. Come on, clap your hands and scream like I'm talking to you. Now, the anointing, the robe, has been removed. In other words, if the robe was a symbol of the king's anointing, the robe is gone. Oh, Jesus. And when they saw that the man's robe was hanging somewhere, commonality has set in, vulnerability has set in. Then the anger and the hate and the bitterness in them came alive. Selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. They wanted Saul killed or deposed.
Jesus.
So that they could reign with David. He said, now, sir, this is the day God spoke about. But God didn't say, kill Saul. This is the day God spoke about. God didn't say, when a man is in the toilet. If you want to fight a man, wait until he has a weapon. Not when he's sitting on Bangira. How do you attack a man?
Battles are not fought in the toilet. They are fought on battlefields. Stop sitting in your house and fighting a man of God. Fight him on the battlefield, on the platform of the anointing. Don't turn your house into a house of gossips and liars. Am I talking to somebody at all?
Look at you. Look at you. Look at you. Ambition. These are non-entities, sanquas, wahelians, who have no future apart from instigating. Every day, Pastor Michael is preaching. Every day, Pastor Michael is preaching. Microphone, Pastor Mike. Drums, Pastor Mike. Mike, Pastor Mike. Drums, Pastor Mike. Organ, Pastor Mike. Everything, Pastor. You too. When will your time come? Look, start thinking when you are young. Now you are in your 30s, start thinking. Oh, there is a classroom here. We can start the church there. Oh. I will be, look, me, I don't want any position. I don't even think I want to be a pastor. I just want to be a deacon. You know, years ago, one senior pastor said something. He said, doubted and started their own churches after the criticism. Then I knew that what the man was saying was true. Listen, when we close service and we are all blessed, be very careful about something else somebody has to say. Oh, we close the service and say, today's service was very powerful. Then somebody opens the mouth. But daddy kept too long. I have a mission. God has called me to a generation and to a region that has no time to waste. God has called me to a region that has been left behind for long. God has called me to a region that doesn't have the money. We don't have the Christianity. We don't have the anointing. We don't have the education. We don't have the population. Because even our population, every day they are leaving the Upper East region and they are going to the South. God has called me to a region with emergency. I am called to a region in an emergency situation. Don't complain about the sound of the siren. The man, he makes too much noise. When the police are in emergency, they make noise. You will hear a siren. When the ambulance is in emergency, it makes noise. You are dealing with a voice crying out in the wilderness. I am not a whisperer. And I am not a sissy. God didn't send me to massage your ego. He sent me to force you into the kingdom of God. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And the violent take it by force. If you can shout, we have a revival. They say the pastors preach for money. If it is money, I won't be shouting here like this. How much are you going to give me? If it is money, I'll preach where I can get money. And when I come here, I will sleep. But when I come here, I push more than any other place. And this is a church where you scarcely push, and after the meeting, somebody will come to you and say, man of God, here is even 2 cedis for water. Rather, when they come to you after service, they are likely to come and take. I'm preaching to you now. You are drawing. After the service, don't come to my office and say, we have come to draw from you again. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. I'm speaking the truth. As for you, I trust you. Come on, scream like your pastor is preaching to you. Listen.